Tonight, as I start my message, I want to begin with a video clip tonight. And I want to show you a clip from a movie that came out decades ago, actually 1990, the first episode of this movie came out, called Home Alone. Anybody ever seen the movie Home Alone? Some of y'all probably not old enough to know what Home Alone is, you know. 1990 is when the first, you know, they made six different versions of Home Alone. They made three for the big screen for movies, three versions of Home Alone, and then they made three for television. But I'm going to share a short clip tonight. I think it's almost, it's about 3.5, 4 minutes, right somewhere in between there. But I'm going to share a short clip with you from the first version, the very first one in 1990. It's Home Alone. It's, you remember, Macaulay Culkin has been left behind by his family. His family's traveling somewhere, and little Macaulay Culkin, I think he was actually 10 years old, but the movie bills him as 8 in the movie, you know. And he's stuck after his family inadvertently forgot him and left him home. And then some would-be burglars show up, and they're trying to burglarize the house. And little Macaulay is trying to keep them out of the house. And so he booby traps the whole house. And the whole movie is about one scene after another where he sets a booby trap and these would-be burglars fall into the trap. Home Alone, take a look.
Morph!
Harry?
Home Alone. I hope you enjoyed that, Ben. That is a funny show. And as I say, they made six different versions of that. And, I'd say probably 2 weeks ago, Tony and I, we were in our worship time. We were worshiping the Lord. When the Lord began to speak to me about a message to prepare, and it was this message. I didn't know when I'd be sharing it, but it was this message for tonight. And I knew just as I started to prepare that I knew I was going to call this message Home Alone. So though we start out jovial tonight, and we start out laughter, what we're speaking about is very serious. This time of year is a time of year when many people feel abandoned. And many people feel home alone. And you can be surrounded by people, and in this life, the way things happen, you can still feel alone. And sometimes people are separated by miles from their family and from their kids or their grandkids or their friends. And sometimes during this time of year that's known for joy, the joy of the Lord and celebration, and while so many people are jovial and celebrating and enjoying the festivities of the season, there are still another whole group of people who really suffer during this time. Someone is facing their first Christmas without a husband or a wife, without a child or a son or a daughter. And it's hard when you face a holiday and you traditionally have been with someone and now that person's in heaven and you're not able to enjoy this time with them. And it can make a person turn on their heels, and what they used to love about the holiday, they can begin to detest. Sometimes during this time of year, people recall relationships that have ended. When relationships end, it's a hurtful thing. I've been there. You know my story. I've been through a divorce. I was single 7 years. And facing the holidays is a whole different situation when you faced it one way for 30 or 32 years, and all of a sudden, the way that you used to face it and celebrate is somebody's not there. And so brokenness in relationship can lead people to feel home alone. We have so many people today who feel alone, who feel abandoned. Sometimes people come out and they're sitting in a crowd, but the person next to you might be somebody who feels so alone. And there are so many people who can't wait for Christmas just to pass. Can we just get on with it? Can we just get over it and move into the next year? Because they feel hopeless and they feel helpless and they feel abandoned and they feel alone. And it is not a good feeling. And when someone feels alone and when they get mired in the muck and the mire of those thoughts of loneliness, the enemy can set in behind all of those thoughts and can cause sometimes people even to fall into depression. People can feel like they're home alone. I'm thankful for my kids who were always with me and around me and celebrating with me, and I'm thankful for my friends, and I'm thankful for my church family. I'm most importantly thankful for the Lord who stood with me and helped me and encouraged me when I experienced life alone. Go with me in the Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19, if you would, please. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to start at verse 1 and talk about Elijah. He went through a situation where he felt alone. What's interesting about the prophet Elijah, you're going to the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament. You're going to chapter 19. What's interesting about Elijah is that he had just celebrated two huge victories. We saw him overcome the prophets of Baal just prior to what happens in chapter 19 here. And we also saw him pray for rain. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years, and he said a mighty prayer for rain. And for the first time in 3.5 years, it rains. What a mighty victory. And James 5:16 refers to the power of his prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men and women availeth much, making tremendous power available, dynamic in its working, one version says. And but when we arrive at chapter 19, he's not on the victory side. And we can see what happens right away. Let me read. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. And if you'll follow me here, I'm going to read verses 1 through 13, and then let's talk briefly about it. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life, meaning Elijah, ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Everybody say wilderness. And he came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's." He lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, "Arise, eat." And then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And so he ate and drank and lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." And so he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. To Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 9. And then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away." So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountain and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a gentle blowing. And when Elisha heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Let's stop reading there. This is a powerful story. No doubt many of you have heard this story before. He experienced what many would call today, would term today, some type of a depression after, as I say, two extremely wonderful victories. I love reading this story in different versions. My favorite version is New American Standard, but when I read this in New Living Translation, I loved it there too. Verse 4 says, he went alone out into the wilderness. He went alone. He was by himself. He was alone. He was experiencing loneliness. Verse 5 in the New Living, he says to God, "I've had enough." Anybody ever feel like you've had enough? No doubt somebody listening to the sound of my voice right now, you might be experiencing that right now. You might be experiencing that thought. I've had enough. I've had enough. And so many miraculous things happen here. He goes a day's journey. We know that he got so far off course. And how many know wrong thinking will get us off course? Said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. I said, wrong thinking for a believer will get us off course. Because wrong thinking will lead to wrong believing and lead to wrong speaking, and the outcome won't be good. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. The biggest enemy to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not Satan. He is an enemy, but he's a defeated foe. How many know Satan is a defeated foe? Aren't you glad about that? Jesus put him under our feet, praise God. That's where we're to keep him. He's a defeated foe. The greatest enemy to the church, it's wrong thinking and wrong believing. And here the man of God who had two huge victories allowed the enemy to slip up on his blind side. And he started thinking wrong thoughts, wrong thinking, wrong believing. And when you're feeling lonely, you can think wrong thoughts a lot of the time. When you're feeling blue, you can start thinking some of the wrong thoughts. Sometimes if you're not careful, you'll let the wrong thoughts in your mind. But the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. We as believers are to make every single thought line up with the Lord, line up with the Word. And if a thought that we have doesn't line up with the Word, we're to take our 12-gauge shotgun of the Word and blast it into oblivion. You and I cannot afford to allow the wrong thought to be running wild through our head. And when you get lonely, you're tempted to let the wrong thoughts through your head. And when you get lonely, you start thinking, well, they don't love me no way. They don't love me down there at that church. I'm not going down there. When you get lonely, you start thinking, nobody cares about me. When you get lonely, you start thinking, I don't have a friend in the world. When you get lonely, you start thinking wrong thoughts, like I'm the only one. I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one serving the Lord. I'm the only one. When you get lonely, having been single for 7 years, I have a great compassion for single people. I've said so often from the pulpit here, I remember coming from the courthouse early on in my divorce proceedings, driving down the highway, one of my good buddies, he passed me. I didn't know he even passed me. I was out there on the Creek Nation, and he called me up, and he said, "Bill," he said, "that's your Buick out here on the Creek Nation?" And I said, "Yeah, how you know I'm on the Creek Nation?" He said, "How fast are you going?" I looked at my speedometer. I wasn't paying attention. I said, "Oh, I'm going 40. You know, the speed limit is 65, 70. Sometimes it's 75 some places out there. I go 40 miles an hour on the Creek Nation. I was so deep in thought. I wasn't paying attention. When you get lonely and when you get the wrong thoughts in your mind, you can lose track and lose sight of things that are right around you. And so Elijah felt like he was the only one. And miraculously, he lays down under that juniper tree, but the Lord sent an angel to touch him. And the angel, verse 5, told him to arise and eat. Isn't that interesting? And the angel told him, verse 6, then he looked, he said, arise and eat. Verse 6, then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. He went back to sleep after he ate. And then the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And so he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb. Now, the way it's worded kind of awkward, so you can read over it if you're not careful. But what's really happening here is that the angel tells him to get up and eat, because he's got a long journey in front of him and he's going to need food. He's going to need strength to be able to make it. And so he does eat, and then he goes back to sleep to get some rest. And then the angel wakes him again and has him feed again. He feeds him again. And then the Bible says he goes for 40 days, 40 days and nights on the strength of that food. Well, when you look at this on a map, Elijah was more than 200 miles away from Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, same thing. So he's 200 miles away from where he's supposed to be. And wrong thinking and wrong believing it has gotten him 200 miles off course. And many believers go through the same thing. You're 200 miles off course. Your thinking is so wrong. You're thinking something, but nobody loves you. Everybody's against you. Nobody wants to see you. You're 200 miles off course listening to thoughts like that. And then people will take it another step, say, God don't love me. God don't care about me. Or they say, God don't see me. God, don't you see me? God, don't you see me? It's like Isaiah 40, 28. God said, how can you say, talking to Israel, oh, Israel, how can you say the Lord doesn't see you? God says that. How can you say the Lord doesn't see your cause? The Lord doesn't see your case? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Oh, man. But we can get off course if we're not careful. Let me take these remaining moments and give you some building blocks and some pointers that we can use that will help us to get back on course if you've gotten off course this way. Somebody listening to the sound of my voice, the enemy has been oppressing you and you've been oppressed with thoughts that it's over. You should end it. Why go on? Oh, but I want you to know this. Satan is a liar. Jesus said he's a murderer. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Don't listen to the enemy trying to lie to you. And he'll try to get you to blow things out of proportion. Something happens, all right, he'll try to get you to blow things out of proportion, make it way bigger than it is. But the point and the fact is that God was not finished with Elijah, and God sent me to tell you he is not finished with you. And you might as well give up those thoughts and that wrong thinking and that wrong believing, because God is not done with you. And I don't know what's happened in your life, but I do know this. Our God, he's a restorer. He's a rebuilder. He's a rewarder. And he can turn that thing around. And we all go through things from time to time, but God is the one who lifts us up. He's the one who will help us up. He's the one who will prop us up. He's the one who will encourage us in our hour of need. And I want you to know, you are not the only one serving God. You are not alone. And God is faithful. And the angel gave Elijah some things from the natural that he needed to do and the supernatural. When the angel fed him twice with bread and water. Think about this miracle. And that bread and water that he ate twice lasted 40 days. Gave him strength for 40 days. That's an absolute miracle that God did. He went on the strength of that food, the Bible says, for 40 days. He went to Mount Horeb, to Mount Sinai. And so I want to share just a few principles with you, because so often people think they're alone. Listen, the first thing I want to say this first. Number one, get down. You need to get down. If you're going through a battle, you're feeling alone, you're feeling discouraged, you're feeling the hot breath of the enemy whispering in your ear, listen, you need to get down on your knees first and repent if you've been thinking the wrong thoughts. A brother won't get an amen teaching like that. But let me tell you this, our failure to trust God is sin, and we have to turn it over to the Lord. And when we worry and get into worry and fear and get into anxiety and start thinking wrong thoughts, all we need to do is say, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me for thinking those wrong thoughts. Father, forgive me for entertaining those wrong thoughts. Get down. Get down. That's your first. Get down on your knees. Get down and repent. And let the Lord forgive you. 1 John 1:9. Oh, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, the Bible says. And God can wipe the slate clean just like that. Throwing our sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. Number one, get down. Number two, get up. You've got to get up. The angel came and got him up. I see these principles in this passage of scripture, each of these principles I'm sharing. You got to get up. You got to get up. You can't stay there. You can't wallow in the muck and the mire of sorrow. You can't wallow in the muck and the mire of yesteryear. You can't live in the memories of years gone by. And you've got to stop driving, looking in the rear view mirror. And you've got to look out into the windshield, out into your bright future that God has for you. You've got to get up. You've got to get up. The angel had to get him up. You've got to get down. That means repentance. You've got to get up. That means you're saying. Psalm 34, verse 17 says this, a righteous man hath many troubles, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You've got to get up. You've got to get up one more time than you fell. Victory and success is determined just by getting up one more time. You've got to get up. You've got to say, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. The enemy's been trying to get you to quit. He's been trying to get you to throw in the towel. He's been trying to get you to think your life is over. He's been trying to get you to think it's time to go home. It's not time to go home with the Lord. God is not done with you. Get up. You've got to get down in repentance. You've got to get up and say, I'm not going to give in. I am not going to quit. I am not going to quit. You've got to get away, thirdly. You've got to get down, number one. Number two, you got to get up. Three, listen, you got to get away. What do you mean there, Brother Bill? Get away from negative people. Get away from people who can't encourage you the right way. And there ought to be people there to encourage us. But let me tell you this, my brother and sister. Oftentimes in our lives, there's not somebody there to encourage us. And when there's nobody there to encourage you, do what David did in 1 Samuel 30, verse 5. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. You need to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And there should be people there to encourage us. But when there's nobody there to encourage you, encourage yourself. That's all right. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Speak the word to yourself. And we ought to have some good self-talk. When we're going through, you starting to feel alone, you ought to have some good self-talk. Some good self-talk. You say, what is that? Go to Psalm 40 real quick. Psalm 40, we're running. Psalm 42. Go to Psalm 42 real quick. Psalm 42, verse 5. And you can write these down. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Yeah, David knew how to speak to his soul. He knew how to encourage his soul. He said, why are you in despair, O my soul? You can see it, Psalm 42, verse 5. You can see it, Psalm 42, verse 11. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. You can see it, Psalm 43, verse 5. I said 42, verse 5, 42, verse 11, 43, verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? David knew how to talk to his soul. And I tell you, you ought to have some good self-talk. You can make it. You can make it. You're going to make it. God's going to bring us through. And then we ought to have some good God talk. We ought to have good self-talk and good God talk. And when we have good talk, God talk, we start saying what God says about us. God said, greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4. God said he'll make us overwhelming conquerors, Romans 8:37. God said you can do all things through Christ in the book of Philippians, who strengthens you. I said God will help you every single time. And really, if you go to Psalm 16, run over to Psalm 16 real quick. And bring this one up in the New Living for me real quick. Psalm 16, verse 8 in the New Living. Would you do that? David said, you know, he said, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Do you know God's right beside you? He's right with you. The Lord has never left you. He's right there with you. And you need to have some good God talk. Like David said, I know the Lord is with me. I'm not alone. I know God's with me. And you need to talk to yourself that way and say, God is with me. I'm not alone. How can I be alone if God himself is with me? Hebrews 13:5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my help and I will not fear. What can man do to me? Oh yeah. Won't he do it for you? Won't he do it for you? So we've got to get down in repentance. We have to get up and refuse to quit. We have to get away. We have to get away from negative people. And then we have to get in. Get into what, brother? We got to get in the word. The angel fed Elijah twice. You know what that means? We got to double up on our word time. When you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling blue, double up on your word time. You know what most people do? They double up on their TV time. They double up on their discouragement time. They double up on their anxiety time. No, double up on the word time. You got to get the word down on the inside of you. If you'll get the word down on the inside of you, God will talk to you. God will speak to you. God will encourage you because what he has to say to you is in his word. I said his word is his will and his will is his word. You want a word from God. Somebody says, I want a rhema word. Get in the book. God's got a rhema word for you that will make Holy Scripture lift off its page. And God will speak to you. He will comfort you. He will encourage you. God will help you. He will strengthen you. And he will see you through time and time again. So you have to get in. Get into the word. Get into the word. You have to get out. Get out. What do you mean get out? Listen, you got to get out again. You got to make yourself get out. Get out. Get some fellowship. Get around some people. You got to get up. Stop staying in the house by yourself. Stop staying around having a pity party. You got to get out. Get out. Get out of that. Get out. Get yourself out. Get out. Get up and go. I remember when I first went through my divorce and, you know, people would call and just say, hey, let's go out and eat. I say, oh, nah, I'm going to stay home. People say, hey, let's go do something. I say, nah, I don't feel like going to do nothing. But it said, hey, let's go golf. Nah, I don't think I want to golf today. You know, the Lord spoke to my heart. And he told me, you got to stop that. And you got to start saying yes. And you got to get yourself up. And you got to get out. Get out. Get in the word. Get in the word. But you got to get out. Get out of that misery. Get out. Get out of that. Get out. Get yourself out. Get out and get some fellowship. And I had some good friends and we had breakfast, you know, so many times a month and we just have a great time. And then I had some other friends. We'd have dinner so many times a month and had some great time. And then I started telling my golf buddies, yes, I'll go with you. And oh man, getting out there on the golf course, we would get out there and laugh, get out there and laugh and laugh and laugh. And my buddies, they would spare no mercy. They say, you hit another ball in the water. And your next ball going in the water too. And I said, come on, you going to see my ball going in the water. My ball ain't going in no water. Oh, we get out there and start laughing. One of my buddies, he was going to take his wife out for a date. And he said, we're going to such and such a place. He didn't mention it was a restaurant. I didn't know what it was. I hadn't heard it. He said, I'm taking my wife to such and such a place. And I said, well, what is that? And he said, it's a restaurant. He said, everybody's going to it. You haven't heard about that restaurant? I said, no, I haven't heard of it. He said, oh, Bill, you've been out the game too long. I said, I guess I've been out the game because I don't know what that is. Man, they just make me laugh. Just make me laugh. Get out there playing golf and just laugh for 4 hours. You need to have some way of laughing. My brother won't get an amen like this. The angel gave him something to do in the natural and the angel gave him something to do in the spirit. Stay with me. I'm just about done. I'm right at the end, but you need to hear this. The angel gave him something to do in the natural. And the angel gave him something to do. It's like what Pastor Hagin says, the natural and the supernatural working together make an explosive force for God. It wasn't all supernatural that got him out. It wasn't all natural. but he needed both. A lot of times you need to laugh. The Bible says this, first of all, laughter doeth good like a medicine. Brother won't get no amen teaching like that. But in the natural, there are certain endorphins, these good chemicals. There's certain dopamine, these really good chemicals that you need. And listen, when you get those endorphins and that dopamine flowing in you and those serotonin levels, those are all good chemicals. And sometimes there are some of those things that don't come out in high degree unless you sweat a little bit. You understand what I mean? A fast-paced walk or some type of energy, some type of exercise. You need some type of regular energy or exercise that will get, because what happens is that dopamine will come out. Those serotonins will come out. Those endorphins will come out. There are things you have to do in the natural. I wish I had an amen here. I lost all my amens when I said, go for a quick walk, a brisk walk, get some exercise. I lost every amen. But there are things you need to do in the natural that will help you in the spirit. And I hope you'll investigate that further. Finally, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Because if you'll do those things, God is going to turn your situation around. He turned it around for Elijah, and he'll turn it around for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace on tonight. Oh, Father, how fast time flies. We're having fun ministering your word. Father, thank you for the power of your word. Your word is so powerful, quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit. He's our divine encourager. He's our comforter. He's our consoler. He's our strengthener. He's our guide. Oh, he's our truth revealer. Father, we know that you laid this message upon our heart, and we know that you have in mind people who have been going through a tough time in the holiday season. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, and I'm not going to ask you to come down for this, but you've been having a tough time this holiday season. I just want you to put your hand up. You can put it right back down, but lift your hand. Be honest with God. Amen. Just all over. Okay, you can put your hands down. And that's why the Lord wanted us to teach on this message, because he wants you to take it to heart. Look up those scriptures that I gave. Review those points that I gave. You may need to go out and get a copy of this message so that you can hear it again in its entirety. Oh, God loves you. He loves you so much. God cares about you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Psalm 56, verse 8 said, the Lord is aware of my wanderings. He records my tears in his book. And he has counted every tear I've cried. God knows every tear that you've cried, and he loves you. And he's faithful, and he'll see you through. Someone may be here tonight, and if you're here and you feel like, man, I've been under such oppression, the enemy has been oppressing me, trying to get me to quit. The enemy has been badgering me. The enemy has been flooding my mind with thought after thought after thought that I should quit, that I should throw in the towel, that I should give up. Oh, but God loves you, and God wants to help you. I wonder if you'd be honest with me there. Lift your hand. The enemy's been badgering you. Lift your hand. The enemy's been bothering you. He's been badgering you. He's been oppressing you. Yes, yes, yes. I wonder if you'll listen to me now. The Lord wants to help you tonight. And I'm going to count to three. I want you to stand on your feet. I want you to come down here, and I want you to let me pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you. I want to pray for you. God wants to help you. He's been oppressing you. The enemy's been oppressing you, and he's been badgering your mind. Quit. Quit. Give in. Give in. Why don't you quit? Give in. It's not worth it. Oh, one, I want you to get the thoughts of everybody else away from your mind. Two, I want you just to get ready. Get ready. God is a deliverer. He's a healer. He's a restorer. Three, I want you just to stand boldly on your feet. You've been having those thoughts. The enemy's been oppressing you. Don't be embarrassed. We are one family. Don't be embarrassed. Just come right down here. Come right down here and let me pray for you. Come down here. If you'll be honest with God, his power will touch you. His power will help you. Oh, be honest. You got to be honest. Be honest with him. Be honest with him. Don't be embarrassed. Be honest. Be honest. Be honest. You say, well, I'm thinking about who's what. Then you don't want to be free. But if you want to be free from those thoughts, you want to be free from that. Oh, Jesus died to set us free. He died that we would be free in our minds. He died that we could be free. And the enemy's been oppressing you, and God doesn't want the enemy oppressing his child. God doesn't want the enemy oppressing his child, and you are God's child, and God doesn't want you putting up with that. God doesn't want you going through that. God's got a mighty deliverance for you. He came to see about Elijah. He came to check on Elijah. He came to deliver Elijah. He came with a mighty word for Elijah. He came to deliver Elijah from that. Oh, God's got help for you tonight. I just want you to lift one hand to the Lord. After all, you're saying, I'm coming to God. I'm not coming to a man. I'm coming to God. Just lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand to the Lord in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command that to go. In Jesus' name, go. In Jesus' name, be free. In Jesus' name, be free. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free. Be free in the name of Jesus. Free in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. All the, come on, let's worship him. Let's worship him right now. Let's worship him right now. Let's worship him. Let's sing some. Let's worship him. Praise God.
Jesus,
come on, everybody stand up.
Change everything.
Hallelujah.
Lives healed and whole. Found here now, Jesus, you change everything. Chains fall,
chains
fear bow.
Oh yeah, fear's got to bow.
And
here and right
now, Jesus, you change everything.
Lives healed
and whole.
Oh hallelujah,
found here.
Glory, glory, now, glory. He's going to change everything
Jesus,
tonight, right now.
Everything.
Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me now. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, the power of God has made that enemy to leave you tonight. Those thoughts that have been harassing you, those thoughts that have been badgering you, thought after thought after thought, Jesus has set you free. Come on down here. Lift your hands to him. Come on, lift your hands. Let's bless his name. Come on, let's bless him. Let's bless him. Let's bless him. Come on, let's bless his name. God has set you free. Say, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Come on, tell him, thank you, Lord, you set me free. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Thank you, Lord, I'm free. Come on, tell him, I'm free. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. I'm free, I'm free in the name of Jesus. I'm free, 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 free in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I'm free tonight. I'm free, I'm free. Jesus set me free. Jesus set me free. I'm free, 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 free. Oh, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Somebody ought to dance up here. I tell you, somebody ought to be dancing. Come on, somebody ought to dance. Jesus set us free. Come on, just move your feet. Just move your feet. Just move your feet. Come on, brother. Just move your feet. Move your feet. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Dance with me. Come on, come on, come on. Thank you. Come on, come on, come on, brother. Come on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, come on, come on. I'm free. Free, free. Come on, brother. Dance. I'm free. I'm free. Come on, sis. Come on. I'm free in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, brother. Come on. I'm free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm free. Oh, I'm free. Oh, I'm free. Oh, let me say this to you. A double portion of God's word. You've got to get in the word tonight, because God's word is God speaking to you, and he will cause Holy Scripture to rise from the page to encourage you, to speak right to your heart. He'll speak right to you. Oh, and you'll know the God of heaven speaking to you. Oh, he's got a huge plan. God of heaven speaking to you. And you got to get in the word tonight. And you got to give God time in his word to speak to you. And get that CD or whatever and listen. Get those scriptures and go over them again and again and again. And you keep saying, I'm free. I'm free. And the moment a wrong thought shows up, you say, no, I refuse to accept that. I refuse to believe that. I refuse to allow that. I'm free. I'm free. Jesus set me free. I'm free. I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to think that way. Jesus has changed me. He's changed my situation. He's changed me. Oh, come on. Let's praise him again. I'm free. I'm free. Somebody say, I'm free. Somebody say, I'm free in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus set me free. Oh, he's a peace giver. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 I said hallelujah. I said somebody ought to shout. Whoo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. It feels so good to be free. I said it feels so good to be free. Oh, Jesus set us free. And he's our Lord, and he doesn't take kindly when the enemy starts bothering his child. Oh, praise God. As you go back to your seats tonight, I want you to go back saying, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'll never be the same. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. And when you get home, I want you to get right in the Word, and I want you to double up on your Word time. Come on, let's give them a big hand as they go tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Just before we go, oh my. Is anybody here and you're not sure what would happen to you if you were to die? Tonight, God forbid, if you were to slip from this earth, oh, you're not sure. You say, I hope I would go. I would like to think so. Oh, that's not good enough. God wants you to know. He wants you to know. And if you're here under the sound of my voice and you're not sure you're going to heaven, if you should die tonight, I want you to lift your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Lift your hand. You're not sure. I don't know what would happen to me if I died. I'm not sure. Is there anybody like that? Lift your hand where I can see. I don't want to miss you. Oh, my, my, my. Is there anybody here? Help me, ushers. Is there anybody here and you say, hey, I know I'm not living right. It's time to get back right with God. God, you know me, you know me, you know I'm not a bad person, but it's time to get back right with God. I'm not living right. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Is anybody here like that? Let me pray for you. Let God make it right for you. Anybody help me? Those of you who are watching, I want you to say this prayer out loud after me, everybody. Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I ask you, forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead. And I invite you, Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the person you want me to be. And I will live for you all the days of my life. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, we want you to write in to prayer@rhema.org. You want somebody to pray with you? If you'll just get online and send a message to prayer@rhema.org, somebody will contact you. My friend, don't let this be a home alone holiday for you. Get out, get some fellowship. The Bible says as iron sharpens iron, so does one brother or sister sharpen another. And you don't have all your family with you, and that's okay. Call a friend, call some people and say, hey, you got room at your table for one, or do something like that. Or if somebody invites you, then go. But don't just sit home alone when there's an opportunity to go. Sometimes what you need to do is just call a friend and say, hey, you know, I don't have a lot of family here. You don't have a lot of family here. Let's go get dinner together. Let's go out together and get some dinner. Just join in some fellowship that way. There's all kind of ways to get out that point before I gave you about before, just before get ready. So thank you for being so easy to minister to. I'm sorry we went a little bit longer today, but God wants us all to stay on the victory side. Amen. Don't spend your time worried about who's not around your table. Spend your time thanking God for who is around the table, and let God keep you on the victory side. Don't be home alone. You want prayer for something now? Our mighty prayer warriors are coming. When I say mighty, I don't lose that term. These are mighty men and women of God. And you need something from God, they will agree with you and help you get it. You want somebody to pray with you about anything, that's what they're down here for. All you have to do, how do I do that? All you have to do is come forward. If you're a lady, go to the ladies. And if you're a guy, go to the guys. and just pick anybody you want, and they will pray with you in Jesus' name. If you're watching online, you need to go to prayer@rhema.org, and somebody will help and minister to you. Be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Let's keep all of our great pastors, Pastor Mrs. Hagen and Craig and Denise and their families, and let's keep them all in our prayers this week. We'll see you right back here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you one and all. You're dismissed.